Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on this Friday, July the 27th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock. The much-anticipated movie, The Simpsons, hits theaters today. We wonder if you're a fan or not, or if you have a favorite episode or character or funniest moment you'd like to share as we talk about The Simpsons and the influence of this series on our culture this hour. Have a comment on whether TV's favorite dysfunctional family has been a positive or a negative influence on society. Will you be among the first in line to see the movie? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are very happy to have with us Stephen Keslowitz, who is author of The Simpsons and Society and The World According to The Simpsons, What Our Favorite TV Family Says About Life, Love, and the Pursuit of the Perfect Donut. Good morning. Good
morning.
It says here that your book and other writings on The Simpsons are required reading at various colleges that teach courses on The Simpsons and in other subjects as well.
Yeah, that was cool to hear. It was cool that they have these classes and that they picked up The World According to The Simpsons. It's been a lot of fun, and one of the things I write about in the book is the fact that Socrates, years ago, was executed for his views of questioning authority, and now he's taught in all the colleges. And in the early 90s, The Simpsons were criticized for the moral decline of society, and now they're taught in colleges also.
Yeah, why are colleges teaching about the Simpsons? What can we learn from The Simpsons?
I think it's a great art form, the first thing. And the character development on the show is, I think, great, and it can teach us a lot about ourselves. The political nature of the show, the sociological nature of the show, the issues I discuss, globalization, celebrity culture, the political television commercial, gun control, The Simpsons has addressed everything over the years. And for a show that's been so deep and has addressed so many things, it serves as a great springboard for then learning more. Because the learning doesn't end with The Simpsons, but I think it really can start there for a lot of important ideas.
Yeah. The Simpsons, what, has been on for 18 years or how long?
Yeah, it was 18 full seasons, and they started 2 years earlier on Tracy Ullman. So we've known them for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have you already seen the movie? Did it open at midnight, I think? I'm not
they
sure.
Did. I was actually, I was doing this interview and a couple of others, and I didn't want to be tired, so I'm going to see it at 11:30 this morning.
Yeah, I saw a headline on a story about the movie opening saying, will the movie revive the series? Is the series hitting a little bit of a slump?
Well, I wouldn't call it a slump. I think years ago they used to have 20, 25 million viewers per week during what they say is the golden years, seasons 4 through 7. And I think probably once they reach around season 10, 11, 12, they're having around 9, 10, 11 million viewers a week. So, that's what Seinfeld was getting, I think, during a few years. So I wouldn't call it a slump.
Yeah,
but
still a huge audience.
They used to be, used to be this powerhouse. The Simpsons is aired in over 200 countries, so that 9 million that I mentioned is just the U.S. I think they have a lot of viewers worldwide, too, so they're pretty strong. After all these years, it's pretty amazing that people are still tuning in.
Yeah, why are seasons 4 through 7 the golden years? I mean, what was so good about those episodes?
I think that the first three seasons, it took The Simpsons writers and directors a few years to sort of develop the characters, to learn what they were doing with the series, how they would function, use these 22 minutes to explore ideas in a funny way. And I think by season 4, you had the characters were really well developed, the writers were getting a good sense of what they wanted to do, the plots were really great, and we were falling in love with the characters. And as the cast expanded, I think there were a lot of different things to look at with The Simpsons, and the writers really had a lot of freedom to do what they want. They weren't accepting network notes, so they had a lot of freedom.
Yeah. So we're going to take lots of calls, maybe have lots of fun, talk a little bit about what we can learn from The Simpsons during this hour. But I wonder if you have, are the Simpsons going to be around for much longer? Are they going to be around for a very long time?
I hope so. They, since probably since season since the Simpsons first began, people have talked about when is this show going to go off the air. And there's really no end in sight is what I've been hearing. They don't have contracts. The actors don't have contracts past season 19. But, you know, it's making Fox a lot of money through the show and merchandise. And if everybody's pretty happy, the writers and the actors, I don't see it ending. And they had what was interesting, the Simpsons had mentioned that they didn't want to do a movie until the show was over. The fact that they're doing the movie now might mean that they have no end in sight, and
we'll have many more movies, maybe too.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully.
Well, we'll talk about the Simpsons and what our guest says. We can learn about life, love, and the pursuit of the perfect donut in terms of what we can learn from the Simpsons. And we welcome your questions for our guest and your comments on the series. And your theories as to the appeal of this TV show and the movie, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine at 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Hoping you'll stay tuned and join Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins. After 4, it's Your Views on the News. You're invited to call in with your thoughts about the week's most significant news story. We'll also review the news of the week coming up after 8 o'clock. It's our Friday Week in Review coming up after 8. Right now, we're talking about The Simpsons and the influence of The Simpsons, the TV series, and now the movie, on our culture, on our society. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Stephen Keslowitz, who is the author of a number of books. The one I have in front of me is The World According to The Simpsons, What Our Favorite TV Family Says About Life, Love, and the Pursuit of the Perfect Donut. And we'll get to your calls in just a moment, and I'll also be sharing some clips from the best Simpsons episodes according to Entertainment Weekly. Apparently, there are many different opinions on the best episodes out there in the 20-some years that this TV show's been around. But I'll share some of the clips that I have from the best five episodes according to Entertainment Weekly. And but first, I want to ask you, Stephen. You say that The Simpsons is the smartest television show of all time. Really?
Yeah. First Time called it the greatest show of the 20th century. I would call The Simpsons the smartest show of all time because they're able to get away with so much being a cartoon. So they have this political commentary, the social commentary, the issues I address, gun control, celebrity culture, the political television commercial, globalization, the nuclear family, capitalism. They just addressed everything, and from a cartoon, from any TV show that can address any of these issues in such a great way. We're able to watch The Simpsons, and we want to then learn more. So when I was doing my book, I watched the show, wrote down the lines, and then I used 50 books to supplement what I was learning from the show. So, you know, the learning doesn't end with The Simpsons, but it really serves as a great springboard for discussing issues, thinking about ideas critically, and it lets us really think creatively and on our own.
Speaking of critical, I'm going to bring in a caller who has, I think, what has been a common concern about the series. Linda in Toma is first. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm kind of appalled at everything that you're saying about The Simpsons, how great this is and how it's required in college, because in my opinion, that was a show that right away was blocked from my children viewing it. They have never seen the show. They will never see the show. And I would rate it right up along the line with Beavis and Butthead and South Park.
How
and
come?
It's very rude. It's very crude. I think it demoralizes the family. We've seen the first couple episodes, and that was it. It was, no, this behavior is not acceptable in the family, and we will not allow it. We will not view it. We will not appreciate it. We will not laugh at it. And my kids probably cannot even tell you all the names of the characters. They have never seen the show since the first two episodes. I just think it's very rude, and I don't think that we should be supporting it in the family values.
Yeah, you've heard that before, haven't you, Stephen?
Yeah, I have, and, you know, I talk about this a lot in the book. The idea of The Simpsons as being, like, the sign of society's moral decline, it was commonly said in the early 90s. I would say these two things. First of all, I mean, there aren't many shows where the family goes to church every week. So, you know, they have a church, they have a temple in Springfield, they have, you know, definitely, I think the family togetherness on the show is also supported by the fact that every show ends up where the starts, where the Simpsons are sitting on the family couch together. Homer and Marge have always been married. They got divorced for about 8 seconds. And in a country where we have a 57% divorce rate, I think it's a good show, the fact that they're, the family is so close together and they love one another.
Yeah.
So you can have Bart maybe calling his dad Homer. You can have funny things like that. You can have the father choking the son.
That's a riot. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, these things, there are definitely things in it that could be seen as, oh, wow, that's questionable. But I think that is what makes the show funny. And I think that the values do come true. I have one of my chapters is called Homer Simpson and Morality. Homer Simpson has an episode where he talks with God. And they talk about these issues, morality and family life. And, you know, I think overall, if you give the show a chance, I remember you had actually mentioned you saw the first couple of episodes. It takes watching, you know, 50 episodes to really see that these characters are endearing and they actually do have good values.
Yeah. Homer always forgets that he has a third child, though.
Right. And these things are funny. I mean, they're definitely, Homer is a flawed character. When we look at Homer, we see all of our imperfections encompassed in one person. And I think that's a great, it's pretty funny when we watch that. One episode, he has a triple bypass, and he says, oh, I'm going to change my life. And at the very end of the episode, we see him sitting on a couch watching TV, eating a bag of chips. And we see ourselves in that. We see our own reflection. And I always say that looking at Homer is like looking in a Carnival Funhouse mirror, because we see ourselves, we can recognize ourselves, but it's like a distorted version, and we don't want to become that.
And then Maggie's first word was daddy, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I mean, they have these very sweet moments on the show. They try not to make it sappy. And, you know, I think they sort of, when they were on Against the Cosby Show on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, I think they're a good contrast to this perfect idealized family on The Cosby Show, which isn't realistic. The Simpsons is much more realistic, and I think that's why it's become so popular. People like watching something that's real.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Linda, for the call. Mark in Sauk City, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, first off, well, I do have a question, but first off, I appreciate that lady expressing her opinions there. It's too good of a show for us to miss. So I let my 12-year-old son watch. However, I tell him that do not repeat any of the things said on the show outside of our home, because there are so many clever jokes that he just doesn't understand that they're referring to some you know, some dangerous issues. So, I want him to see it. It's a fun show. It's very clever. So, it's a great show. Excuse me. It's a great show. But the question is, it seemed like early on in the episodes, in the 90s, Bart seemed to be the focus in all his misdeeds and his rudeness and the snotty kid. And then it seemed to be Homer became the focus of the show, maybe in the mid-90s. And I was wondering if the writers and producers reacted to a public outcry and focused on the idiot father as opposed to this rude model of a son.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it was the result of a public outcry, although there was that outcry that you mentioned. They barred Bart Simpson T-shirts from schools. They weren't allowed to wear them. And you had sort of this rebellious sort of thing, but which had launched The Simpsons. I think that The Simpsons, the switch to Homer, was the result of the realization by the writers that dumb is funnier than bad. And they can do so much with Homer. And I think there's only so many prank phone calls we can watch Bart make before we get bored. There may be some other reasons, like you suggest, behind that. At the same time, the fact that The Simpsons has continued to attack everybody over the years. One example I talk about, I thought a great example, was they did an episode during season 13 where the Simpsons family traveled to Brazil. And the Brazilian government threatened to sue over that episode because The Simpsons showed Homer was kidnapped by an unlicensed taxi driver. You had kids robbing the places. And The Simpsons ended up having to apologize. Jay Leno's comment was, The Simpsons aren't available for comment because they're cartoons. But what was great, and I think what's really cool, is that during season 18, The Simpsons talked about Brazil again. the family had visited this very bum-like town, and Lisa says, "Oh, this is the worst place you've ever been." And Homer says, "Yeah, except for Brazil." And, you know, it was great because I think that would show that they're really not afraid of everybody. The government threatened to sue them, and they came back and attacked them again.
Well, before I bring on our next caller and before our news break at the bottom of the hour, let me play a clip from the episode Last Exit to Springfield, which is being called the best episode ever by Entertainment Weekly. In this clip, we hear Lisa singing a protest song or a song in support of workers who are protesting at the power plant.
Come gather round, children, it's high time you learned about a hero named Homer and a devil named Burns.
That's enough. But that was very cute. Is that the best episode ever, do you think, Stephen?
Not in my opinion. I think it's a very good one. Maybe it's top 20. My favorite episode was Homer's Enemy. This is with Frank Grimes, a worker who comes to work in Springfield, a very hard-working guy. And they juxtapose this guy with Homer Simpson. And they have all these run-ins together. And I think the best 20 seconds of The Simpsons ever were the moment where Frank Grimes comes to the Simpsons house and he smells that there's lobster for dinner. He sees Homer's pictures with the Smashing Pumpkins, Homer in Outer Space, Homer winning a Grammy Award. And he looks at Homer and he says, you know, you're what's wrong with America. You get by doing as little as possible and you leech off of decent, hardworking people like us and like me. And the idea is that before that episode, I think The Simpsons was very focused on attacking singular aspects of cultures, our celebrity culture. You can attack our obsession with maybe guns mm-hmm. or something else in the culture, consumerism. But I think the power behind that quote was that it was so broad, and Frank Graham said, you, everything about you is what's wrong with America. Mm-hmm. And I think because we do see ourselves in Homer, it was a powerful quote, and it left me thinking, wow, that's, you know, even if we don't view ourselves as being exactly like Homer, maybe there is something that we can improve about ourselves. And I think that was a very important point of the series.
Let me bring in Paul in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Great show, as always. I'm 30 years old, and I remember watching the first episode of The Simpsons. I even remember watching them when they were on Tracy Ullman. And I just love this show. It's really made what my sense of humor is. And the thing I wanted to say was that one of the things I enjoy the most is the music, the original music, and I'm glad you played that clip of Lisa there because that's great. But I wonder first if is there any original music in the movie, and maybe comment a little bit on the original music. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until after our news break to get our guest to comment on the music of The Simpsons, and we'll take more of your calls about The Simpsons. Whether you're a fan or not, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Stephen Keslowitz. He is author of The World According to The Simpsons, What Our Favorite TV Family Says About Life, Love, and the Pursuit of the Perfect Donut.
Simpson, Homer Simpson, he's the greatest guy in history. From the town of Springfield, he's about to hit a chestnut tree.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and yes, we are talking about The Simpsons. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What you just heard was from the episode. What episode was that? That was from the episode Marge versus the Monorail. And the show starts off as a tribute to the Flintstones with Homer singing what you just heard him singing. We are talking about the world according to The Simpsons, what our favorite TV family says about life, love, and the pursuit of the perfect donut. Our guest is the author of that book, Stephen Keslowitz. Stephen Keslowitz is also the author of The Simpsons and Society. And his books, by the way, are used as required reading in a number of college courses, including a course on The Simpsons that is taught at Tufts University. Our guest says that the Simpsons is the smartest TV show ever and says a lot about our culture and society. And before we go back to the phone, Stephen Keslowitz, what about our caller before news time, Paul in Fort Atkinson, who really enjoys the program and enjoys the original songs, if you have any comment on the music of The Simpsons?
Yeah, I think the music has been great, and I had purchased, I had sold a few soundtracks previously of all the songs on the episode, and there is a movie soundtrack which I hope I'm going to be buying, and they're actually releasing a third album of all the music on the show in the fall. So yeah, the music on the show is a great part of it, and I think, you know, again, this is what makes The Simpsons such a special show. They have these Emmy nominated songs on the episodes, and I think that in a cartoon show, if you listen to the words of the songs and also how the songs sound, it's pretty amazing that this is a cartoon.
Yeah. The Marge versus the Monorail episode that I played that clip from, was called the fourth best episode ever from Entertainment Weekly. Do you have it up there too or not?
Yeah, that's a very good show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's my top 10. I know that was written by Conan O'Brien, who was a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the list of the top 10 episodes, I've seen all these lists. Everybody sort of has a different kind of list, and there's so many great episodes, it's hard to argue with anything.
Right. Let's bring on another caller, Roger in Lakemore, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have to admit that I have not watched The Simpsons the last couple of years, but I watched it religiously for several years, and I too agree that it's brilliant, and I'm giggling on my way to work here, just thinking about all the all my favorite episodes and instances. And what's most important, I think what I like the most about The Simpsons is the family relationships. The idea, and I know you touched upon this, that a family can go through so much, including temptations to commit adultery and everything else that has gone on, and still stay together. They are committed to each other. They love each other. Homer and Marge stay married, and for someone who has a great marriage and a couple of kids who I feel real close to, I think that's probably one of the most important things for me in the show, and I think they handle it brilliantly.
Steven?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that it does take time to realize that this is more than a cartoon. This is a show that is showing us what, you know, good life can be like. I mean, it's interesting because The Simpsons are always called this dysfunctional clan, and the episode I talk about in the conclusion of my book is the one where Sherry Bobbins comes to live with the Simpsons. And she teaches them how to be, like, perfect, and she teaches them this is how you're supposed to live. And they adjust. The moment she leaves, they stop. And finally, she's leaving the house, and they sing this song, and they all say how happy the way things are. And Homer says, you know, I'd rather drink a beer than win Father of the Year. And these are pretty funny things. Bart says, I'm stuck here till I can steal a car. And Marge says she's losing her hair because she's all stressed out. But they end the song by saying, we're happy just the way we are. And I think acceptance of your situation in a family is important. And I think that overall, the family is happy. And it was hard for Sherry Bobbins to see that, just like it's hard for, I guess, critics to see that The Simpsons values togetherness and good family norms. But they coexist well with one another.
Yeah, another, though, email from Cliff in Brownsville, who has a different opinion on that. I have been a teacher in elementary school since the early 80s, and I've seen changes in the attitudes and behavior of children over the years, and not for the better. Many of these changes have been due to what our children are watching on television and seeing in movies. I find The Simpsons show utterly distasteful. After watching one of the first episodes, I vowed I would never watch another one. It glorifies the stupidity and poor parenting skills of Homer, which brings out the disrespect from his son. What's so funny about all that?
Okay, well, it's interesting. You're getting all the Simpsons haters today. But the first one of the chapters in my book is called Is Homer a Good Father? And in the end, I think ultimately he's a well-intentioned father. He may not do the right things. He is too dumb to do the right things. But there was an episode called Homer, and where we found out that Homer has a crayon lodged in his brain. So Mo, the unlicensed surgeon and Homer's friend, removes the crayon, and Homer's intelligence, his IQ, shoots up 50 points. In that episode, he becomes smart, starts going to the library, and he spends a lot of time with Lisa. And he writes her a note. At the end, he says, you know, I really enjoyed spending time with you. And he says, I'm going back to being dumb because it's easier. It's easier. You're not sort of an outcast in society. You sort of fit in with everybody if you're dumb. And I think that show was such a great show to show Homer that he showed that Homer is a well-intentioned father, because when he had the intelligence, he did the right things. So I wouldn't say that, you know, poor parenting skills is part of what The Simpsons is all about. It's about people who aren't able to be good parents who try to be. And the fact that, you know, the person who wrote the email said that, you know, The Simpsons and other TV shows are the cause of behavior that's gotten worse since the 1980s, that can be a correlation rather than a causation sort of thing. Plus, you had, you know, when I talk about whether Bart is America's bad boy, the past generation of Dennis the Menace, you know,
but yeah, that's right.
Bart's sort of just an extension of that. He even has the slingshot. Sort of, I don't know, I didn't hear about too many people changing their telephone numbers because of all the prank calls they were getting. So.
And prank calls, of course, did happen a lot way before Bart was making them to Mo.
That's right.
Yeah. Eric in Waukesha is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. So one of my great moments of Simpsons irony for me had to be the episode when Homer and Barney were training to be astronauts, and Barney straps on a jetpack and goes up, and it runs out of fuel, and when he falls, he bounces 5 or 6 times off the thin roof of a pillow factory, and then he lands on the street and gets run over by a truck carrying marshmallows. To me, that's just genius.
Yeah, they've done things like that before. Very ironic, because the pillow factory and the marshmallows, yeah. That episode was a great one, too, the astronaut one. I think that sticks out in a lot of people's memories as a classic episode during season 5.
Let's talk about, you know, Barney and is always drunk, and Homer, you know, downs his share of Duff. Does it you know, promote alcohol abuse?
I have a section in my book. I start off with 7 myths about The Simpsons, mm-hmm. and alcoholism, the idea that it promotes alcoholism is, I think, a big myth. If you look at Barney, if you look at him, does anybody who watches The Simpsons want to become Barney? The answer is no. They specifically show that alcohol does bad things. I'll give 2 examples quick about Barney. When Homer and Barney were in high school, Barney was a good student studying for the SAT, and Homer says, oh, come on, just drink 1 beer. He gives him 1 beer, and then Barney just couldn't stop for the rest of his life. And that just shows that he was on this good path to life, and then he became a beer just bum. Also, they've had the kids, Bart and Milhouse, have been in Moe's Tavern, and they had snuck in with fake IDs, and they say, Mo, you know, give us a beer. And they turned, and they looked at Barney, and they looked at the other drunks in the place who just looked so down and out of it, and they just pushed back the beer.
I remember that.
You know, it's just like, it's to people that would say that it promotes alcoholism is so off base, because they show the negative effects. Even Homer. Homer isn't an alcoholic, but they don't show him in a good light when he's drinking. He may have fun, it's true, but the worst things that anybody does in the show is happens when they're drunk. Barney, by the way, is reformed. He's now a coffee drinker. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't been watching recently either.
Yeah,
we're talking about The Simpsons and the influence of The Simpsons on our culture, which our guest says has been a pretty good one. He is the author of The World According to The Simpsons, What Our Favorite TV Family Says About Life, Love, and the Pursuit of the Perfect Donut. Talking about The Simpsons on today, the release of The Simpsons, the movie. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Friday, July the 27th. Stay tuned for the Week in Review coming up after 8. The state budget has a long way to go. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is under fire again, and Senator Russ Feingold is considering censure. We'll talk about these stories and more in our Week in Review after 8. Right now, we're talking about The Simpsons. And here's a clip from a Halloween episode where two aliens are posing as presidential rivals, Bob Dole and Bill Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, 73-year-old candidate Bob Dole.
Yay!
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
Yay!
Fooling these Earth voters is easier than expected.
Yes, all they want to hear are bland pleasantries embellished by an occasional saxophone solo or infant kiss.
That was not on the Entertainment Weekly's list. I think Leo Duran, my producer, just picked it because he thought it was funny. What did you think of that episode, or what does that tell us about The Simpsons or ourselves?
That was great, and you just listen to that quote itself, and they're just saying, this is what Americans want to hear. They're sort of just playing into the idea that, I guess, our anti-intellectual society. I read about how Neil Postman said how the TV was sort of the decline of thinking critically about things, and I think a quote like that is just tremendous. It was very funny. That episode in itself was great.
Our next caller is Paul in Racine. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I had to come to the defense of The Simpsons. You've had two callers now bring up children in the show, and I've always been amazed that people consider The Simpsons, because it's a cartoon, a show for children. It's on at prime time, and you know, I love The Simpsons, and I like to see what The Simpsons brings up, but I would never let my 8-year-old daughter watch it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I agree to some extent. I mean, I think once you're 8, 9, 10 years old, I think that you can start watching the show and just to begin to understand certain things in it. I know I did. And look, I mean, I grew up on the show talking about the quotes throughout high school. And when I got to college, you know, I felt The Simpsons really helped me, because when I was learning political science and philosophy, Simpsons quotes kept popping in my head. And, you know, the fact I wrote this book during college, and now I'm a law student, and as I think about the world in a critical way, The Simpsons is always there. And I think that to deprive kids once they reach, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old from watching the show is doing a disservice, because there's so many interesting ideas. You learn so much about the world from just this 22-minute episode.
Thanks to Paul. Commodore in Oshkosh is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of comment about an email that was sent in before, you know, where it was a teacher basically who said that, you know, he feels like, you know, it's a terrible show, and like basically like the negative effects that it has, you know, on students and, you know, the younger generation and everything. And I think, you know, a lot of people watch, you know, an episode or two and they make, you know, snap judgments, you know, without really knowing, you know, I mean, The Simpsons are, I know, around either their 9th or 10th season. And, you know, to check out an episode or two and make that, you know, make that call, you know, it's a really bold statement. And I think, you know, I mean, there are so many other things in our society right now that really affect our youth. That,
right.
You know,
what do you think is good about The Simpsons, Commodore?
You know, it makes me laugh. And that's just something so big to me, because really, you know, there aren't many things out there, you know, day to day that still make me laugh and that I can look back on, like, so many years ago, and the same things, the same episodes, you know, still make me laugh, and I can think about, you know, the little things from them, and they're still just so funny to me, and I can appreciate that,
yeah.
You know, being able to laugh at that every day.
It's true, and you know, when I look at the context of The Simpsons in the context of Socrates, Socrates had said that the unexamined life is not worth living. And I argue in the book that The Simpsons really carries on that tradition, because they're examining life, and if that includes subverting authority figures, questioning ideas, showing that some politicians are corrupt, that really every institution, the education systems, you know, you have a nuclear power plant, a corrupt mayor, the police chief is lazy. You have all these sort of terrible things going on in Springfield. Of course, the satire extension of our own society. But it's great to watch, because really we're getting to examine life. We're getting to examine a satirical version of the world we live in.
Yeah, all those supporting characters that you mentioned, too, are a really important part of the show. We've become friends with all of those guys, too.
Right, and I think, exactly, I mean, mm-hmm. this show has a cast of thousands of characters, and hundreds of them have been well-developed, and I think so many people can relate to different characters. The most recent example in the real world, and I think this is so great, 7-Elevens just converted themselves to Quickie Mart.
Right.
And I think that's just awesome. I went to the one in Times Square, and you have everybody's in, going into the convenience store, and you've never seen so many happy faces in that kind of a store. Everybody's taking pictures with the giant Homers. And you see, 7-Eleven, I think, gets the joke. Matt Groening had based the Quickie Mart and based Apu on somebody that he knew at a 7-Eleven. And 20 years later, they're now converting themselves to what Matt Groening had sort of done to make fun of them. And it's, you know, it's a great promotion. And 7-Eleven, they had said, you know, we're able to laugh at ourselves. One Quickie Mart operator, one 7-Eleven guy in real life, had said that he took that job because of The Simpsons. He saw Apu, and it kind of influenced him.
One more clip, I hope, from the episode Homer's Phobia, an episode in which Homer thinks Bart is turning gay, so he takes him to a steel mill so he can meet some real men.
Bart, I want you to shake hands with, what's your name, fella?
Roscoe.
Roscoe here runs this mill. He's going to show us around and let you get a first-hand look at real All-American Joes doing what they do best.
Why the hell would I want to see that?
You'll thank me on your wedding night.
Hey, listen up. I want all of you to say hello to the Simpsons.
Hello!
Has the whole world gone insane?
Stand still. There's a spark in your hair.
Yeah, get it. Get it. Hot stuff coming through.
Dad, why did you bring me to a gay steel mill?
I don't know.
You mentioned in your book that The Simpsons will take on controversial issues, but doesn't necessarily take a stand on them, like the gay marriage episode?
Exactly. That was a perfect example, the recent gay marriage episode. Really in that episode, they take on both, every side of the issue. They talk about a slippery slope argument. If we allow gay marriage, what else are we going to allow? And they had Ralph Wiggum trying to marry a tiger. They had these great, interesting ideas. But really, I think Marge had a great line up in an episode. She had said, just because you're a lesbian doesn't make you less of a being. And, you know, you really have every side of the issue in 22 minutes, and I think the writers really work hard to do that. Despite, there might be a liberal slant of the show overall, they're really going to express all ideas and let viewers make their own decisions. I think that's why it resonates with so many people, and I think The Simpsons is very different than something like Ann Coulter or Al Franken.
Jesse in Waukesha, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, I would just like to comment in regards to the negative comments about The Simpsons having on the younger generation. I grew up in a conservative family, and The Simpsons was a show that I was able to watch. My family supported it, and it was just an awesome experience for my entire family. It tapped into the ideas of humanity and the flaws and characters and the systems. My family just had an awesome time. I just grew to know the world better. It was awesome. It was funny.
Yeah, and family values were there, Stephen.
That's exactly right, and she said that she grew to know the world out of it, and I think that's a great way of putting it because you really do get to know the world. We watched 400 episodes of The Simpsons, and we watched these characters grow and develop and do all these funny things, and we really can learn a lot.
Yeah, one more call. Bob in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks. I've been watching The Simpsons since it started, and I remember the comments people made in the beginning about how terrible Bart Simpson was. But, you know, they weren't fully watching it because, in the end, Bart never got away with anything and always learned a lesson. And it seems The Simpsons take up real human issues everybody can recognize and thus ends up, in many respects, less cartoonish than other television programs. Its cartoon characters seem more human and more fully rounded than the supposedly real human beings in many situation comedy. So I think it's great, and I wish him another how many years?
Yeah, you're not alone. Stephen Keslowitz, you get the last minute of the program for a final word.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to respond. That was a perfect comment because I talk about the same idea in my book that kids might want to see Bart Simpson and say, wow, this kid is really cool, but he really is punished for everything he does. And, you know, there was an episode, Marge Be Not Proud, and Bart steals something from the Try and Save. And by the end, you know, he gets in trouble. He feels really bad about it. And he gives a framed picture of himself to his mom as a gift. And, you know, they always have this sort of sweetness to his actions. And even when Bart was bad during his worst seasons, he was still, you know, this good kid. He was still a good-natured kid, and I think there was something likable about him. And, I don't think it's a... I think it's a positive influence just to see that, you know, even behind this kid who does these antics, there's a good heart.
Yeah. Well, we really thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy the movie later today. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Stephen Keslowitz is author of The World According to the Simpsons, What Our Favorite TV Family Says About Life, Love, and the Pursuit of the Perfect Donut. Thanks to Leo Duran for much of the production of this program, and thanks to Carmen Jackson as well for booking our guest, and thanks to Christina Taylor for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and here's a little bit of the monorail song from The Simpsons.
Monorail. That's right, monorail.
Monorail. Monorail. Monorail.
I hear those things are awfully loud.
It glides as softly as a cloud. Is there a chance the track could bend? Not on your life, my Hindu friend.
What about us Brendan slobs?
You'll be given cushy jobs.
Were you sent here by the devil?
No good, sir. I'm on the level.